Good evening. It is good to be back this evening. It's good to be here. I hope that everything is going well in your life right now. A wonderful time of the year, and we're about to spend a lot of time with our family, maybe some family that you haven't gotten to see in a while, maybe some people coming in from out of town, or maybe you're leaving and going out of town. Hopefully we'll have some good weather for traveling, and you'll be safe, and your family will be safe. We always look forward to this time of the year. Been thinking about this lesson for last couple, 3 weeks, and I thought it was going to be really easy, because there's some excerpts, some things out of Moses' life, and some things that we've been talking about, or are talking, currently talking about on Wednesday night in our Bible class. And I thought, boy, this is something that's really kind of hit me in the last couple of months as I've been looking at these things, these ideas. But it gets a little more difficult when you try to boil all of that stuff down and get it into a really short, you know, time frame. Chris is so good at that. I don't know how he can do it. As last Sunday, he just got up here and that quickly he took his notes and changed it from a normal sized lesson down. And I told Sid tonight, well, sorry, the last time I went over it, it was about 45 minutes long. So the title is, Who Do You Think You Are? You know, how many times in our lives do we look around and we have people telling us how to do things or what to do or how to say things, and we really don't appreciate it, do we? We don't like people telling us what to do. And I like picking on Sid because he's easy to pick on. But you know, if I told Sid tonight, you cannot drive a Ford pickup anymore, you're going to have to get rid of that thing. You're going to have to go buy you a Dodge. What do you think he would say? I know what he'd say. He wouldn't do it. He'd say, who do you think you are telling me what I can drive and can't drive? What would you think if I told you tonight you can't sit where you sit right now? You know, as I look around the last year that we've been here, I look around and most people are comfortable where you are right now, or at least pretty close to where you're sitting. And if I said you cannot sit in the same section that you're sitting in tonight, you can't sit there anymore, how would you feel? Probably the same thing. Who do you think you are telling me where to sit? We don't like people telling us what to do or where to sit or what kind of vehicle to drive. What if I met you tonight at the door and I told you, if you weren't wearing a dress, I really need for you to go home and change and come back wearing a dress. And you men, if you didn't have a jacket and a tie on, you needed to go home and put on a jacket and a tie if you planned to worship here in this building. How would you feel? Same way. Who do you think you are, right? We do not like, we are a people who are not accustomed to people telling us what to do. We do not like authority in our life. Now, we've accepted some authority, but we don't enjoy a lot of authority, or at least people telling us what to do. Now, sometimes we enjoy telling people what to do, what to wear, what to drive, where to sit, but we don't enjoy other people telling us those things. We disagree with people when they do those things. But you know, there's times, there are things in our life when we don't really challenge authority. If you were to leave here tonight and you were to get out here on the highway and you were to take off and you look up in your rearview mirror and you see some red and blue lights flashing behind you, what do? You get off the road. You pull over to the side and you stop your vehicle. Why? Because we have been raised to accept the authority of our law enforcement agencies, right? If a police officer's got his lights on behind us, we pull over. We have become accustomed to that. We have accepted that kind of authority in our life. We don't challenge it. We don't question it. We may not like it all the time. We may think they abuse their authority, but if they pull us over, we pull over. Now, some people don't. And they reap the consequences of that. Why is it in our life that there are some things we accept, some authorities that we accept don't challenge at all, and others we challenge constantly? Why do we do that? You know, there are some things, like some of the things maybe a little silly that I mentioned, but we would question those authorities. Others we wouldn't. But, you know, there are a lot of things in our life that God has said, this is what I want you to do. This is how I want you to behave. These are the things I want you to be involved in. And yet we question His authority. And we might as well be saying, who do you think you are? When we look at our life and we see some of the decisions that we've made and some of the things that we do in our life, we are no less saying that to God when we don't listen to His authority, when we do not accept His authority. A few things in Moses' life that I think really kind of hit me, because as I look at his life, I'm looking at myself and thinking, man, I've been there. I've done that. And I look at Moses' life early on in Exodus chapter 3. Flip over to Exodus 3 with me real quick. And in Exodus 3, we're really kind of starting to get introduced to Moses. And he's walking around, and it says that he sees this burning bush, and he's kind of intrigued. Well, now, what's going on here? And he goes over, and God starts talking to him. And if you skip down to verse 10, God specifically tells him why he's there. And he says, now come, and I will send you to Pharaoh so that you may bring my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt. God addresses Moses and he says, Moses, now listen to me. I have something for you to do. I am commissioning you to go to Pharaoh and to talk to him, and I want you to bring my people out of Egypt. Now this is something I promised my people hundreds of years ago, and it's time for its fulfillment to come to pass. Now, Moses knows a little bit about the history, but maybe not everything. But Moses stops. He's just seen a burning bush that's not being consumed. He's listening to a voice that he doesn't really understand where it's coming from. He knows these things, and he doesn't understand all of them. But he's talking to this voice, and this voice is telling him where he's going to go, and what's the first thing that comes out of his mouth? I'll go. I'll go and tell anything or say anything that you want me to do. Or say anything you want me to say. No, that's not exactly what he says. Look at verse 11. Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt? Three things he says. Who am I? Now he's questioning God's authority. He's doing it very nicely. But he's questioning His authority. Who am I? Now look around me. God, I'm sure there are better people to say the things that you want said than me. Now, he could come up with 100 different excuses, and he's going to come up with a lot of excuses in his life, but he's saying, who am I? Why did you choose me? Look at me. I'm not the one you want. And he says, who am I to go before Pharaoh? Like he hasn't been in this house before, like he doesn't know who he is, or that he hasn't had conversation with him before. He was raised there. He knows what goes on in this house. But he says, who am I to talk to him? Why have you chosen me? Don't choose me. I don't want to do this. Why do you want me to go before the people? I don't want to go before the people. And really, in reality, what he's saying is, who do you think you are choosing me from all the people that you could have chosen? Why do you choose me? Who are you to do this? I don't really want to go. How many times have you been asked to do something and you backed up and said, you know, I don't want to do that? I can remember the very first time I was asked to get up and speak or say something in the congregation where I grew up. I'm not sure that I want to give up and do a devotional in front of 400 people. Didn't remember a single thing I said after several months of encouragement to do it. I didn't remember anything afterwards. I didn't want to do it. I was questioning some things. And I didn't really realize that maybe that I'm questioning God's authority in my life. When I'm being encouraged to do certain things, am I really questioning who God is or what He's wanting from me? Moses is questioning Him. Now God answers that question. And then Moses goes back to Him in verse 13 and Moses says to God, "Behold, I'm going to the sons of Israel and I will say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And now they may say to me, well, what is His name? What shall I say to them?" Now he's getting a little more bold and he's saying, he's really questioning God's authority and he says, well, who are you? Who are you to send me before all the Israelite community? When I go and tell them that the God of your fathers has sent me, they're going to say, who are you? They're not asking that. They're not questioning that. Moses is questioning that. Who are you to tell me what to say, to send me where to these places that you're wanting me to go? Who are you? He's questioning God's authority. What is your name? And God simply says, just tell them I am sent you. I can't give you a description, Moses, because that would mean I would have to describe myself based on something that I created. Look around you at everything that exists. I created that all. It finds its meaning in me. The heavens, the stars, everything, this earth, this world, everything that exists finds its existence in me. How would I define myself to you in order for you to understand? Just tell them, I am sent you. I have always been, I always will be. I give definition to everything that exists. Tell them, I am sent you. One who has authority to do anything is sending you. Moses was challenging God's authority in his speech. I don't really want to talk. I really don't want to say what you want me to say, God. I don't want to go before Pharaoh. I don't want to talk to all the people and tell them they need to do this or they need to do that. I don't want to tell them they have to change everything that's going on in their life because you've told them to. I don't want to do those things. Choose somebody else. And then I look at my life and maybe our life today. How many times do we refuse to take advantage of the opportunities that are laid before us to share the message of God, of the gospel to the people around us? How many times does someone really need to hear the message of the gospel or need to hear the story about Jesus Christ? And we have that opportunity and we say, God, who am I? There's got to be someone else that has better answers or that can come up with better answers more quickly. Maybe we should send them to Chris because he knows a lot about the Bible and he's the one who should be out there talking to people. I don't want to say anything, God. Who are you to tell me what to say anyway? I don't want to talk to people about these things. And then we stop and we look at what's going on around us today in the world and you think about the presidency is about to be decided again in not very far future. And we look at the things that some of those candidates are saying. And any time one of them says something about or alludes to God or the Bible, people start listening and going, what's he going to say? So we can hammer him, right? We don't want to hear anything like that. And the candidates say, man, that's just really pretty much off limits. Because I know what's going to happen if I really stand up and say, this is truth, and we need to live our lives according to this. Could you imagine what would happen to someone who said that, who was running for the presidency? How far would they get? Even us as Christians, we may say, man, that guy's kind of bold saying some of those things, that we need to listen to the Bible. But what would we immediately say? Well, if I voted for him, I would waste my vote because he doesn't have a chance. We've bought into this whole idea that God really doesn't have authority in our lives in what we say. The world says it every single day. and we bought into it. Does God truly have authority in my life, in your life, in what you say? In the conversations that you're going to have tonight or tomorrow or the rest of this week, does God truly have authority in your life to dictate what you will and will not talk about? Does God have that authority? And it's easy for us to say yes, but it's not quite as easy for us to back up and say, okay, God, lead me and have me say the things you want me to say. Put me in a situation where I can tell someone about you and about your authority. Who are you anyway? We have a problem in this world. We really don't like people telling us what we're going to talk about. We don't want God to tell us what to talk about. Moses didn't. And sometimes we fall into the same trap. We need to be a people who realize God is authority and have accepted His authority in our life and talk the way He wants us to talk. What about the way we act? Moses, in Numbers chapter 20, the people need water. They're in the desert and they're dying of thirst. Their livestock is not going to make it. And they start grumbling against Moses again and say, why in the world are we out here? Look at what you've done. Look where you've led us. We're all going to die. We don't like you. Let's overthrow him. Let's elect a new leader and let's go back. I mean, there's all kinds of good things back there. Let's just go back and take care of that. And Moses is talking to God in chapter 20, in verse 8. God talks to him. He says, take the rod. And you and your brother Aaron assemble the congregation and speak to the rock before their eyes that they may yield its water. You shall bring forth water for them out of the rock and let the congregation and their beasts drink. So Moses took the rod before the Lord just as he had commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly before the rock. Now to this point, he has done what God has said for him to do, hasn't he? God said, assemble the congregation and go out there and talk to them and tell them that I'm going to bring water from this rock for them and I'm going to give them drinks that they need. I'm going to take care of them as I always have and as I always will. And they've done it all. And now that they've assembled them, the second part of verse 10, and he said to them, listen now, you rebels. Shall we bring forth water for you out of this rock? Moses messes up on a couple of things. First off, he looks at the people and it's become personal with him. He's heard them grumbling and mumbling about him and how bad he is and all the negatives about him and his life, and he's taking it very personal. And now he wants to strike back or lash back at those people. And he starts calling them names and says, you are worthless people. You're a bunch of rebels. You don't want to know anything. You don't want to know the truth. You don't want to be helped. You don't want anything good in your life. And he said, Shall we give you this water? Should I do this for you? Now, I thought just a few moments before, God said, I'll do it. You speak for me, and I will give them water. And Moses says, you bunch of rebels, should I give you this water? Kind of holding it over them. Kind of acting a way that God did not really approve of. And then it says he turned and he struck the rock twice. And water flowed forth. Doesn't seem like a really big thing, does it? But God was not glorified in what he did. God said, Moses, this is what I want you to do. This is what I want you to say. And he refused to accept God's authority. He wanted to get out there and he wanted to let the people know what he thought of them. It doesn't matter what you think of them, Moses. What matters is that you glorify God in everything that you do before the congregation. That's what God said. He wants to be acknowledged. He wants to be honored. He wants to be glorified because it's Him that's going to give them water. It's Him that's going to lead them into the promised land. It's Him that's going to give them that land just as He promised over 400 years earlier. You're His spokesman that He chose. You're not doing anything except what He's told you to do. You have no power except what He's given you. Honor God. Don't act this way. Moses is a man with anger issues. You think back in his life, in Exodus chapter 2, if you remember, he's coming after, or right before he fled to Midian, and he looks out and he sees an Egyptian man beating one of his brethren, another Israelite. What does he do? He goes and kills the Egyptian and buries him in the sand. He's got an anger problem, doesn't he? Or maybe in the Ten Commandments, when he's up on Mount Sinai or Mount Horeb, and he's getting the Ten Commandments, and he starts back down because God says, those people that you brought up out of Egypt, look at what they're doing down there. And Moses starts going down, and he meets up with Joshua, and they start walking. Joshua is saying, it sounds like there's a cry of war in the camp. And he says, but then it doesn't really sound like that. It sounds like they're singing and dancing and carrying on, and they get there, and Moses sees what they've done, and how does he react? He becomes very angry and he throws the tablets down and he smashes them. He's got an anger problem. He's not responding to things the way God would have him respond. Have any of you ever gotten angry, lost your anger? It's kind of easy to do sometimes, isn't it? How many times have we been told to honor God with our lips, with the way that we act, and yet we become angry, or we let some emotion control us and we act in an ungodly and an unholy way? We dishonor God when we refuse to accept His authority in the way that we act. We question God's authority so many times when we don't even realize it. Who do you think you are? I have the right to be angry. Isn't that what Jonah said? I have the right to the point I would even die. Why? Because I don't want you to forgive these people. I don't like them. How do we act? How do we influence the people around us? How many times do we miss out on opportunities to make a positive impact in people's lives because we don't act the way God would have us act? Another thing that I look in Moses' life and I see how he refused to accept God's authority, it's how he responded to his unfaithfulness. He would question some things. Why? And isn't that, don't we do those same things? A lot of times we question, you know, there are consequences. We've said all the time, if you do something, if you make a choice, there's going to be consequences to our decisions. We understand that. And all of God's people, every time they make choices, if they don't listen to God, there are consequences that they have to deal with. Later on, even the Israelite people in Jeremiah, Jeremiah's talking to them. What did he tell them? If you don't change your life, if you don't start listening to God, if you don't accept His authority, the Babylonians are going to come, they're going to carry you into captivity, and you're going to stay there for 70 years. Don't tell us that's going to happen to us. We're God's people. and it happens, and they say, "We're sorry. God, we're sorry, we apologize." And God said, "I forgive you. But God, we're still here." Well, yeah, there's consequences to the sin that you committed. There are consequences for refusing to accept my authority. I told you what they were going to be, and now I have to implement them. I have to keep them. You're going to serve out 70 years just as I told you you would. God says, "Moses, because of your unfaithfulness, you will not go into the promised land. I know I chose you. I know I told you you were going to lead them. I told you you were going to go to Pharaoh. I told you all these things. But because of your unfaithfulness, because you refuse as my leader to accept my authority, you will not go into the promised land with those who are going to go in. Now you can go to the top of the mountain and you can look in, but you can't go there." Now here's one of the greatest lessons out of his life, I think. How does he respond? Now he could be angry, resentful, and ugly, and every other thing. He could say, "Fine, God, then I've led them all this way, and if you want to take them the rest of the way, you go right ahead. I don't care anyway. They're a bunch of rebels anyway, right? They don't like me. They never have. Good riddance of those people. I don't want anything else to do with them." That's not how he responded, though. In Numbers chapter 27, beginning in verse 12. Numbers 27 and 12. He said, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Go up to this mountain and see the land which I have given to the sons of Israel. When you have seen it, you too will be gathered to your people as Aaron your brother was. For in the wilderness of Zin, during the strife of the congregation, you rebelled against my command to treat me as holy before their eyes at the water.'" 15. "Then Moses spoke to the Lord, and he said," now listen to what he said, "May the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, appoint a man over this congregation who will go out and come in before them, and who will lead them out and bring them in, so that the congregation of the Lord will not be like sheep which have no shepherd." I get it, God. I'm sorry that I refused, that I didn't honor you and I didn't glorify you, and I realize there are consequences. And I realize that I will not go into that promised land. I understand that. But the last thing, Father, that I want to say to you is choose someone who's strong enough that they'll be able to complete what you're wanting them to do. Complete the journey and lead the people, your people, into the promised land. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, the Song of Moses, the first four verses of it, he says, "Give ear," as he's talking to the Israelite community, "Give ear, O heavens, and let me speak. And let the earth hear the words of my mouth. Let my teaching drop as the rain, my speech distill as the dew, as the droplets on the fresh grass, and as the showers on the herb. For I proclaim the name of the Lord. Ascribe greatness to our God, the Rock. His work is perfect, for all His ways are just, a God of faithfulness and without injustice. Righteousness and upright is He." People, I'm not going with you. I'm about to leave this place. But whatever you do, don't forget God. He has the right to have authority in our life. What happens when we truly allow God to have His place in our life? What happens when you and I truly accept God's authority in our life? Is it such a negative and a bad thing in our life? So many people think so, but you know, and the reality is, when we allow God to have the authority in our life, and we say the things He wants us to do, and live the way we want, and act the way He wants us to do, there are a lot of good things that happen in our life. Everyone, including ourselves, are freed from the bondage of this world. Of all the things that tie us down in this world, that confuse us, we're released from those things. Our purpose in this life is finally understood. It's who we are. We finally realize. We're finally, for the first time in ever in our life, are able to realize true contentment and serenity in our life. I know who I have been created to be when I allow God the authority in my life. When we realize that consequences are not always negative, but sometimes are good things when we accept God's authority. Consequences of living and allowing God to have authority in our life are our relationships are better than they ever were before if we'll listen to God. If we'll allow Him to have the authority in the way we treat one another, our marriages will be the best that they can possibly be. Our relationship with our children, our relationship with one another in this family is the greatest that it can ever be. But when we hold on to things, when we refuse to accept it, then the negative consequences happen. We have well-adjusted people when God has authority in our life. I challenge you tonight, when you start thinking about the things in your life and the choices that you're making, the things that you're saying, challenge you to stop and to look down and say, what is God really wanting me to do? And maybe write some things down in a journal if you have to, and then look at a few weeks later, a few months later, and say, okay, now these things, I actually listened to God and I allowed Him to have the authority in my life, and what has He done through me? Where am I now? Better or worse? See if God doesn't bless your life in everything that you've given over to Him. God demands that we give our life into His hands. He wants us to be His children. He wants us to realize who we are. And we'll never do that until we accept His authority. And quit challenging who He is. Because that, and only then, will we truly understand the blessings that He has for us in this life. That only starts when we give our life over to Him. When we say, I don't want to be in control of my life anymore. I want You to be the authority. I want You to be my Lord and Savior. That's what being immersed into Christ is all about, is accepting His authority in my life. And I don't know where you are tonight. Maybe you haven't made that commitment and you need to tonight. There's no better time to do it than right now. Maybe though you've already done that though, and maybe you've taken some of that back and you've said, God, I'm kind of challenging His authority as Moses did in his life, as all of us do. Maybe tonight you need to renew that commitment and say, God, I want You to be in authority in my life and I want to realize all the blessings that You have in store for me. We'd love to pray with you tonight if that's what you need in your life. If there's anything that we can do for you, in a public way, we'd ask you to do that, would respond right now, not to my invitation, but to His. If there's something we can help you with, come right now while we stand and we sing together.